People have been gathering all around the world to remember, to relive again, once again, the birth of the one who brought about the great turning point in history. The gospel, according to Matthew, reveals how all this took place, he says, to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. It's worth noting that those hope-filled words came to Joseph when he was on the brink of despair. His hopes and dreams of a wonderful life had been shattered beyond repair when he discovered that Mary, who had pledged her love and loyalty to him, was expecting a child that was none of his doing. It must have been the darkest day of his life. I can imagine the turbulent emotions that he must have been feeling. Shock, betrayal, and so alone. Matthew gives us a window into the awful dilemma that Joseph faced, how he wrestled with what to do, and how he came to settle on a plan for a quiet divorce. Not a good plan, that really wasn't in the cards, but the least devastating option that he could think of. Yet, just as this dark cloud was about to envelop him, God, by his grace, intervened. To this bewildered and distraught man, a heavenly messenger appeared to dispel the darkness of doubt and shed light on the mystery of what it is and what it was that God was up to. Mary's pregnancy was not a dismal failure, but a great fulfillment of what God had talked about through the prophet Isaiah long ago. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Joseph, he probably thought that those words were past their due date, or that they applied to somebody else. But how, he must have wondered as the angel spoke those words, could those words apply to me? Are you telling me that I am not alone in my dilemma? That God is with me? With us? That is exactly the message the angel had come to deliver. You are not alone. God is with you. Let that sign of God's presence be a beacon of hope. Indeed, as one commentator, David Ewart, noted, the child to be born was to be a constant reminder to the whole nation that in the darkest hour of her history, God had scattered the gloom and dispelled her fears by these wonderful words of assurance. Emmanuel, God is with us. Many dark hours in Judah's future were to be lit up by this glorious promise, probably whispered at times in the dark. Don't give up. God is with us. We are not alone. Just how important is that Jesus is Emmanuel was brought home to me anew by a recent story I read about missionary David Schenck. David has a deep love for the Muslim people, and he has lived among them and interacted with them for many years. Now, Muslims believe that Jesus was a great prophet, but they do not believe that Jesus was Emmanuel. Many told David they considered this difference between them irrelevant. So David shared with them a recent story, a message that he'd given to a group of about 150 women and children in a refugee camp. Women and children, mainly because most of the men had been killed in conflict. In Jesus, the Messiah, and the Messiah is really God's Savior, God's hero of the story. In Jesus, the Messiah, he said, God has come down into your refugee camp and is participating in every way in your suffering. The Messiah was born in a cattle stall. Your children were born under thorn trees. When the Messiah was a child, his boyhood playmates were killed, just as friends of your children have died. The Messiah was a refugee, just as you have become refugees. The Messiah traveled from place to place, sometimes probably using a pillow, a stone as a pillow, just as you and your wanderings have done. The Messiah was beaten and killed, with his body hung on a tree, just as your husbands have been mutilated and hung on trees to die. In every way, God in the Messiah is participating in your suffering. But God raised the Messiah from the dead. He offers forgiveness for those who so abused him. Likewise, God, through his Spirit, empowers you to also arise from your great terrible tragedy and move forward in hope. He invites and empowers you to forgive just as the Messiah forgives, so your souls will not be wounded by bitterness and anger. After I finished preaching, said David, those widows and their children went into the courtyard, and for the next half hour they sang praises to Jesus and they danced with joy. And so he asked the Muslim leaders that he had been meeting with, would there have been joyous singing that Sunday if I had preached that Jesus, the Messiah, had escaped suffering? As I understand Islam, God does not participate in our suffering. Although God is understood to be merciful, he has not come down to meet us and live among us. The songs of the widows, however, were their response to the Messiah who has come down to suffer with us and because of us. In Jesus, God plunged into our human predicament in order to rescue us from it. They called him Jesus. That is, his name means the Lord saves. And he saves because he will say, he's called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's what the angel messenger had said. And Jesus would do this by taking upon himself our guilt and our shame in his life and in his death on the cross. The promise of Emmanuel is still a living word for all who believe that promise and receive his gracious offer of forgiveness and his enduring presence through the best gift that he could possibly give us, that is, his Holy Spirit, his ongoing and permanent presence with us. I want to invite the candlelighters and a worship team to come up. And as I light the Christ candle, my prayer is that you will welcome the light of his presence to be ignited in you, for then you will know in your heart the reality that because of Emmanuel, we are not alone. God is with us.